listening to the Success in Sheds podcast. It's a show created to inspire shed builders and portable building manufacturers to achieve optimal success in their shed businesses. I'm your host, Jim Mosier. I'm the author of the book, Selling Sheds Online, the complete guide to digital marketing for shed builders and portable building manufacturers. I'm also the founder of Shed Marketer, the digital marketing agency for the shed industry. On each episode, I'll be sitting down with industry leaders to talk about their processes, the lessons they've learned, and how to find success in sheds. So without any further ado, let's talk about sheds. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Success in Sheds podcast. I'm your host, Jim Mosier, and I am here today with I almost feel like I'm in the room with a legend, or in the Zoom room with a legend, I guess I would say. I have a gentleman with me that's been in internet marketing maybe even longer than I have. So I'm proud and happy to introduce a man named Jody Underhill. And the specific topic we're going to talk about today is recruiting in the shed industry, because I get a lot of questions from people, reaching out to customers or potential customers and asking them, you know, do this. And one of the themes I hear a lot is, you know, I'd love to build more buildings and sell more sheds, but, you know, I'm having a hard time finding good employees, good tradespeople, good people to working in my shop, good delivery drivers and all of that. So I happened to reconnect with Jody. He and I are part of a mastermind together, and he has moved into the recruiting space, and I thought he would be a perfect guest to join us today on the podcast. So without further ado, I present to you guys Mr. Jody Underhill. Jody, would you like to take a minute and introduce yourself?
Sure. So Jim's probably pretty much done a pretty good job of sharing with you a little bit about what I do, but yeah, I started off, I worked for about 30 years for a Fortune 250 company, left there and started doing marketing for local businesses, and been very successful doing that for about the last 11, 12 years. And about 2 years ago, I had somebody come to me and ask for help because they were doing recruiting in the trucking industry, and they needed some help in implementing systems to deliver on what they said they could do. So we stepped in and kind of helped them put those in place. And I was like, wow, this looks pretty cool. Let me see what we can do. And so went out and landed about 12 trucking companies in about an 8-week time frame. But during the process, I also have a good friend who is almost a legend in the home service industry. We reached out to him and said, hey, if you need help finding people, we need to check out what we're doing. That was a year ago. 10 months ago, he said, you know what, you need to do this for other home service companies. And in the last, since October of 2021, we've brought on over 70 customers that we currently work with, working with them, helping them find A players for their teams. And the difference in what we do is, instead of using job boards, we use social media ads in order to bring those in. And then we use automations to move people through the process. So what I'm going to do today with this podcast, hopefully, is share some things that you can do to implement some of the things we do on your own if you choose to. And also, it's just some good ideas on how to position your offers so that you can start attracting top talent. And there's top talent in every industry. And right now, it's a wide open job market. I mean, it's an employee's market. There's been some rumblings that, oh, it's going to be an employer's market here coming up. But for now, it's still an employee's market. So positioning your offer is going to be key in putting those in place. And it's not always pay and benefits that attracts them to come work for your company. And I'll share some of those things as we go through as well.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And you know, home services and the shed industry are some kind of tied, but then in other ways, they're not exactly the same. In home services, you're generally going out to a customer. So you're looking for technicians, and there's different types of qualifications, I think, with that than there is, you know, somebody working in a manufacturing facility, you know, building trusses and things like that. So I want you to kind of cover some of those nuances. Sure. That you think might be helpful to the shed industry in particular as we go through this. I kind of want to focus on you know, some of the insights you always start, you know, with the company and the team structure and everything like that. Why do you feel or why does it seem like hiring, you know, good skilled tradespeople is so difficult right now?
Well, there's a couple of reasons. First, to touch on the point as far as home services versus like building sheds, is that we do actually also do recruiting for the largest cabinet manufacturer in the country, Reborn Cabinets. And with A1 Garage Door, they fabricate custom doors. And so we have hired finished carpenters, metal fabricators, and so those type of shop positions, if you want to, so for lack of a better term, as well. So positioning those is in the same way. But what right now, what most people do, companies, not even just home services, anybody these days, if they need help, what do? They go post an ad on job boards. They go to Indeed, Simply Hired, ZipRecruiter, Craigslist. If you're in Canada, they're on Kijiji, right? And the thing is that when you do that, they're, first of all, I have nothing against job boards. They're a great resource if it works for you. And because we actually have it so that we feed leads from job boards into our system along with the social media leads that we get. But the thing is with job boards is you're only getting the people who are actively going there looking for a job. Where the most of the workers today, 74% of the of people who have started a job in the last 24 months did not find the job on any of the job boards. They found them through social media interaction, meaning they showed up in their newsfeed when they were scrolling or someone shared something they saw with them on social media. And that's how they found the position that they're currently working in. Now, it could have been on LinkedIn. It could have been any other ways, but that it was not through going to any of the job boards in order to find those. So that means that only 26% of people that have landed a job in the last 2 years found it from a job board. So now there's another caveat, especially when it comes to the trades. And I think you would agree that, you know, that shed building falls under trades.
Yes.
Because it's a carpenter trade. It's a manufacturing trade. Is that whenever someone goes to one of the job boards to apply for a job, there's a requirement that they upload a resume. Not everybody, even the most skilled technicians in home services, not everybody has a resume laying around ready to upload. So it's limiting in the fact that it's only the people that go there, and then not only the people that go there, but only the people that go there that also have a resume. And people will argue, well, you know, they'll allow you to build a resume from, you know, filling out some blanks, and that's fine. But I have a feeling that that causes a lot of nervous anxiety for people filling it out isn't going to be good enough. One of the things that we do whenever we get them from social media is we allow them, when they fill out the application, it's very general questions. And at the bottom, there's a spot for them to upload their resume if available. And we find that over 70% of the applications we get for every trade out there, unless it's a management position, usually doesn't have a resume attached.
Really?
Yeah, so it's some of those nuances that you wouldn't see or kind of think about unless you're in it doing it every day.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things that is one of the biggest things where we expand the reach, because we expand it by going to social media and then we expand it by allowing them to apply without a resume. And so it gives us an unfair advantage compared to what everyone else is doing. Because if you've been in business a while, there's all kind of HR softwares out there that say that they're a recruiting software, like Jazz HR, Bamboo, Paylocity. But what they are is it's in their name. It's Jazz HR, it's Bamboo HR, it's Paylocity. You know, it's for HR. They have a little plugin that allows you to put a job description into their software and they go post it for you. So again, you're still only getting people, even if you're using a software like that, they don't have messaging. They only bring in the leads, and then the real work comes into play, because then you got to call the lead, you got to text them, you got to get an application filled out, you got to set up an interview. All of that stuff still comes into play. And that was a very long answer to your short question.
Yeah, I was going to say, so what I'm getting from that is that, yeah, to you, the recruiting process is no different than, for instance, when Shed Marketer does marketing for a client. We're marketing for clients. You're marketing for good, skilled tradespeople.
Right.
That's an important paradigm shift when you think about it. It really is. So I know when you and I were together recently in Miami, we were talking and you were explaining to me some of the differences between recruiting and hiring. Mm-hmm. And I thought some of that might be really good topic for this particular podcast. Do you want to go into that a little bit?
So the difference is, think about it this way. So if you ever follow any type of sports, doesn't matter what it is, especially college sports, right? Everybody, what kind of recruiting class did you have this year? It's going to make or break the team, whether the coach did a good job of recruiting. And the way that they're recruiting is, granted, they're looking for star athletes, but they're also selling that athlete on coming to work, play at their school, right? Because they have choices. It's no different than in today's job market. The average, a good player, if they want a job, they only have to wait about 10 days to find a new job because they are in demand. that's on the recruiting to hiring side comes down to keeping them in, is the hiring process, right? Recruiting is getting their attention. Hiring is moving them through a process of becoming an employee at your company. So just like they go out and recruit players, they have to move them through a process of becoming a team member. The same thing here. You have to keep the person, the recruit, engaged in the process and keeping them informed of what's going to happen every step of the way. You got to let them know, great, we got your application. The next step is to do a short Zoom interview. After the Zoom interview, we're going to do this, letting them know, just like in the sales process, right? You don't keep your customers in the dark. You're like, yeah, absolutely. We're going to, you're going to order the shed. We're going to have you fill out the form. So how many windows, where you want the doors, if they're doing a custom build, where's it going to go on the property? All of those, you don't have them guessing. I know this because I'm actually sitting in a shed right now. My office is a shed. I don't know who built it, but I've got,
plug your brand. I know you're in South Carolina. So
yeah, I get it from the barn lot here in Malden, South Carolina. The only problem I have with that is I'm from Florida and I'm a Florida Gator, and the guy that owns it is a Miami Hurricane, but I bought five. We got four sheds on our property. One for the kids' room, one for my office, one's my wife's office. It's a 12 by 24, and she even has a craft cottage that's a 14 by 28 on the lower half of our property. So, and like I said, you don't just show up and say, oh, where are you going to put it? Because you've got to be some planning involved, right? I mean, we've had to come in and clear out an area, level it and everything. So you let people that are buying the sheds know what's going to happen. You got to need to let the employees know what's going to happen each step of the way. That's the hiring. And then another thing is like the first day on the job, do something that's going to be memorable for them. So for instance, whenever someone starts with our company, we use a program called Thanks. It's THNKS, it's thanks.com without the A, THNKS.com. And every person that starts with us that's in the States is we use Thanks and we send them lunch for the week.
So oh, wow.
That kind of indoctrinates them into, wow, they care about me. Letting them know what's going to happen. Because most people, they come to work and they show up and it's like, okay, yeah, you're going to be working with Bob over here. Bob's going to show you the ropes. And then you go back to the office and go back to whatever management duties you're doing. They need to be indoctrinated. Just like you indoctrinate a customer into having great customer service, you need to indoctrinate that employee into your culture so they can see that they've made a wise choice. Because during the interview process, it's kind of like a first date. You know, they're showing their best, they're coming with their, you know, they got their best clothes on, they're showing up and putting on their best show. Then after they show up to work, that's when the real employee shows up. And so you want to be able to put them in a position of feeling comfortable that they made the right choice, because they could have gone anywhere. They chose to come to work for you. You got to continue to meet those expectations as the employer. And I know people say, well, if they do that, they need to, dot their I's and cross their T's if they want to work here. Well, you need to do the same thing.
Well, I was going to say that's kind of a, I don't know. That seems like a little bit of a backwards attitude to have, because you got to make sure that you give it an environment. Something that you said a minute ago, though, triggered a thought that I had. You had said that, the A players are in high demand. And I also noticed that when you were talking to begin with, you said that you have kind of a process for finding and identifying those A players. And I guess, I know that you had said, the big difference between the job boards and the social media is that perhaps maybe on the social media, I guess, I don't want to assume things, but I assume you meaning that somebody that may not necessarily even be looking for a job is reachable on right. Social media. Do you think that's why you have such good luck finding those A players that you talk about?
There's a couple reasons. That's the first one, right? Because we're getting in front of them when they're just scrolling. Now, you have to have a great ad that really expands on the benefits of your company to get the, because they're scrolling, right? Mm-hmm. You got to stop the scroll. What I tell people is your ad needs to be as kind of a, it won't really be that way, but if you've ever seen Raiders of the Lost Ark with the big, when Indiana Jones is in the cave and he pulls the wrong lever and the big ball comes rolling after him and he's running, you want your ad to be so that if he's running, he'd see your ad, he'd stop and go, what is that, right? Now, granted, it probably won't be that earth shattering, but still you got to stop the scroll when they're scrolling through there.
Yeah.
So the graphics have to be great. You have to have the job positioned in the right way. Well, the thing about social media ads is because they're very strict, because it's an employment ad, you can't discriminate. So you can't really target A players. You can only target geographically. You can't discriminate by age. It won't let you set age. It won't let you set gender. It really won't even let you set but one interest. And from there, if that's it, you have to show it to everybody in the geographic area. So you always make sure that the ad is shareable, because about 20% of our leads come from people who share the ad with someone they know. But then, so that's the first step, is getting those people that aren't necessarily going to job boards. Because in essence, if you look at it, why are people on job boards? They're unhappy where they're at, they're looking for a new opportunity, or they're unemployed. If they're unemployed, there's a reason, usually. So we get the first step is social media. We bring them into our system. The first thing is they fill out the application, and we ask questions there that, you know, about their, with most of our customers, they want to know about their driving record, because they'll be driving company vehicles. I mean, if you're having someone drive a delivery vehicle, you need to know those things, right? And then from there, after they fill out the application, if it looks like, okay, this is, then the next step is we send everyone to do a video interview. And with that video interview, what it does, it doesn't take anyone's time but the candidate. They go to, they get a link, they click it, they go there. There's you as the owner of the company going, it'd be like me going, hey, my name is Jody. I'm so happy that you're interested in a position here. We've got your application. The next step in the process is a very short interview. It's just 3 or 4 questions. You can record your answer on your iPhone, your Android. Make sure you dress for success, have good lighting, and have fun. We'll see you on the other side. And then we start with a softball question, like, what's your favorite sport? What drives you to win? And then, you know, what is your level of expertise with carpentry? Or what is your level of expertise working with tools? Then, you know, tell us about a time when you had a difficult situation at work and how you handled it. Tell us 2 words that you would use to describe yourself. And little things like that. So it kind of gives you the ability to see how they interact. It also lets you see things like, did they bother to get out of bed to do the interview? Are they driving while they're doing the interview on their phone? Or my favorite one is a guy in Las Vegas, had a logoed shirt on, answered the first question, rolled over. He did not realize the camera was rolling. Was tapping around a little bit, and after a minute he picked up a one-hitter pipe and fired it up.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So he was it's like, people are like, well, that's in Las Vegas. You know, marijuana is legal. I'm like, so is alcohol, but you don't drink on the they don't drink during a job interview.
Yeah. That's got a Jeff Foxworthy joke in there. If you ever taken a beer to a job interview, you know.
Right. So it's like, have you ever fired up a one-hitter pipe during a job interview? Well, that guy did.
Oh, my goodness.
It's not a fail-safe, but it's that next level of then helping you identify if it's someone that you even want to have a conversation with.
Right.
Because it kind of eliminates that. One of our clients, real quick, he kind of described what the process is better than I ever came up with. He's like, you know, when I go on the job boards, it's like a job fair where there's 6 other companies doing the same thing I do. With the social media ads, it's like I'm at a job fair, but I'm the only booth, because they don't see 6 of my competitors in that newsfeed because hardly anyone's doing it. Then when we send them to do the video interview, I get to tell whether or not I even want to talk to them when they walk up to the booth. And so it really allows us, and that company hired 17 people in the first 30 days.
Wow.
Now, granted, it was in Canada, and the work they do is very seasonal, but he was able to do that in that short of time. Most people, it's 3 or 4 people in the first, you know, 30 to 60 days. It's not like a record breaker like he did, but it kind of helps you. Now, it's not foolproof, like I said, but it does give you a much more of an advantage than just seeing a resume and calling somebody on the phone.
Right. So going back to those A players, I mean, what is it that generally that you find that they typically respond to? I know you said the content of your ad and your employment offer and all of that, or your company profile and all of that. I guess let's get into some of the nuts and bolts of this. You know, what is a really good you know, type of offer, like, or you know, what is it that stops that scroll, and especially in the sense of somebody, you know, the A players, what are they looking at? What's going to catch their eye?
So everybody, I mean, first of all, pay and benefits is always important, but there's some intangibles that may be even more important to them. So I don't know, for instance, with our cabinet manufacturers, you know, it is that because with the manufacturing, sometimes the work is cyclical, right? It's like guaranteed 40 hours a week, weekly, 40 hours a week, weekly pay guaranteed, right? Because where they're at, it's more of a, you know, $16, $17 an hour type position. And so some of those people may not be used to being consistently employed because there's some of the, but so those things, then they do have benefits and those kind of things. It could be, you know, we've had things as simple as fully stocked break room as one of the, really? And people respond to that. They're like, wow, that's really cool. And it's a AC company in Albuquerque, New Mexico. But there's other things in some of those. It's like no on-call, or the company truck they can take home. But when it comes to manufacturing, when it comes to building, you have to look at, is it steady work? Are they out of the weather? Because I mean, if you think about it, a lot of construction guys, they're working rain or shine, right? They're out there, they're building houses, they're doing framing, and it's not always the best conditions. Are you building your sheds inside of a covered structure where maybe it's conditioned space, maybe it's not, but you know, they're not exposed, and it's a good working condition, something of that nature, so that so the other part of it is pictures of people doing the work. That is key. You know, granted, you want to have your logo and your colors and that kind of stuff, but you want pictures of happy people doing work. That gets people's attention. So not just a guy working with framing, but a guy smiling as he's nailing something in or running an air gun, you know, something that shows what they're doing. And if your company has logoed shirts, that's even more important because it shows your branding. I mean, a lot of companies, like, you get, you know, company uniforms, any of those little things that don't necessarily go towards pay, but it's a benefit that makes their life easier.
Okay. Very good. Benefits. So even things beyond the typical insurance and just things that go a little bit beyond, put in a little extra touch into it. Yeah, that's some really, really good advice. What about the whole, I guess money's not really the biggest factor, I guess, is what you're coming down to. But why is it so hard to find the same talent, like, in the job boards? I think you kind of covered this, but I just want to go over it again, just to hammer it in. The resume part, I know, is probably a big part of it, but give me some other thoughts on that.
Well, the biggest thing is the competition. You're not posting your position there with six other companies. That's the other biggest point I can point to, is from that standpoint. But like, I mean, it's like with you, I know that you do marketing for shed companies. I'm sure that whenever leads come in, you have automations in place to take care of some communications like that. So basically that same thing is what we do with recruiting, from bringing in. So like I said, we even have it where we are able to bring leads in from people when they do fill out the information on Indeed into our systems. And doing so that, because the instant communication is what's the biggest thing. Like I said earlier, a good candidate only has to wait about 10 days to find a new position. Mm-hmm. And with this, so time kills deals. All the way across every business, any aspect of business, time kills deals. So you want to move as quickly as possible. With Indeed, they fill it out, you get an email, then you got to start the texting them or calling them. Having a process in place or a system, which I know I'm sure you do, Jim, in a system, the same way you bring in process leads for your customers, doing that same thing with applicants, where it alerts them to what's going to happen next. They instantly get communications and encouraging them to take that next step. So, and on a job board, here's the difference. So on a job board, they usually start off with, we're looking for people with 5 years carpentry experience or this, or metalworking, right? For whatever it is that they're looking for. And then the benefit's secondary. Whenever you're doing it on social media, you're advertising for employees the same way you advertise for customers. So no shed company is running an ad saying, hey, we're looking for homeowners that have at least 2,000 square feet in their backyard that are paying money for storage and also have decent credit. We want to deliver a shed to your property. No, you start off by, our sheds are custom built. We can custom design them. But there's no fee for delivery. We set everything up. It's you pay the first month and we deliver the shed. We do all the work, right? And then there's other pieces. But you have to have at least 2,000 square feet in your backyard, access with a mule, all those different things. So with the ads on social media, it's, you know, let's say it's a shed manufacturer. Steady, it's the benefits that it leads with. It's whatever the pay is. Also, do the pay not only in hourly, but do it what it would be for the year or weekly, and kind of test what's going to get the best results. I can tell you that $16 an hour is the kiss of death on a social media ad, because you're going to get combative comments all day long of, so you're saying basically the same thing as McDonald's, because most McDonald's are now paying around $16 an hour. And is a no experience and $16 an hour. If you're hiring experienced people, you want to position the pay in either weekly or month or weekly or annually. It kind of has a different taste to it. And then if there are any benefits, if there are healthcare benefits or, constant work, weekly pay, guaranteed, those kind of things. And then requirements are 2 years carpentry experience, then you've put the requirements last. And that's what, because you want to lead with, here's all the reasons you should come work for us. And by the way, you need to have these requirements.
You know, that kind of leads into something else we've talked about before. And, how you've talked about how you tend to position your things as careers rather than jobs. Do you want to expand on that a little bit?
Sure. So in looking at it, if you do have an entry level position, or you're going to train them, because right now, especially in like HVAC and some of the other stuff like in garage doors, they would rather hire for aptitude and attitude rather than experience. Because just because you have experience doesn't mean you have the right experience usually. And so a lot of them are hiring, and by doing that, by hiring apprentices, you're able to run the ads of, no experience necessary, get paid to train, right? So, they would have to go to a trade school in order to learn this. Well, they were going to teach you how to do this and we're going to pay you. And like in the case with the garage door company, we're going to bring you in. You're going to spend 4 weeks. We're going to train you. We're going to leave as a certified garage door technician. We're going to pay you $720 a week and your housing while you're in training and all your food. Right. And then after that, when you go back, there's the first year, a garage door apprentice makes somewhere between $45,000 and $60,000 a year. But we position it, instead of saying that's the pay range, is paid training, no experience necessary, with a clear path to $100,000 a year plus. Because there is, by their second year, if they're doing things right, they should be able to easily be making $100,000 a year. Now they got to be using the systems the correct way. They got to be able to explain, not only diagnose and repair the issue with the door, but also sell the customer on the best solution. And sometimes that is even replacing the door instead of just fixing the door. So all of those come into play, but it is a clear path. Because the other thing with social media, if you make an unsubstantiated claim, they shut it down. But as long as, so I don't know what the construction pay is in building sheds, but let's say it's $20 an hour, and $20 an hour is what, that's $800 a week, and 8 times 5 is, so that's what, $45,000 a year. So, clear path to $45K plus a year. You do position it that way, so that it's not saying that that's what you're going to make right out of the gate, but we're going to paid training with a clear path to making this much money. Wow. Those are the things that gets people's attention.
Yeah. Now that you bring up pay, a lot of different people pay different structures, and sometimes people will pay, like for instance, a delivery driver may just get paid per delivery or things like that. So I know one of the topics that we were passing around before the call had to do with performance pay. What are your thoughts on that?
So with that, you've got to have the structure so that, here's where performance pay is a very fair measure. As long as you have the work for the person to be able to perform at 100% with. An example would be like for the delivery driver, if the performance pay is he gets paid a percentage of each delivery. If you only have it where he makes, like for instance, the last one I had delivered, the driver came all the way from Tennessee, with the 14 by 28. And he had to do a lot of work. He had to cut a tree limb down to get the thing in. So there's other issues that go into it. But as long as you have the ability for them to perform at 100%, it's completely fair. If you don't have the ability for them to perform at 100%, it's unfair. Because if you look at the typical home service company, great, this performance pay, you get paid 10% of everything you do, but our lead gen is not very good, and you've only got 2 jobs to run on today where you could probably do 10 if we had them for you, then it's unfair. So there's got to be some balance in there, because whenever you do that. But a lot of companies we work with are 100% performance pay, but they are companies that wind up with calls at the end of the day that they don't have enough staff to get to. That's why they're working with us, because they need more staff.
Gotcha. So let's talk about something that you said earlier. I know we were talking about automations, and I love the fact that you have the marketing background, because a lot of the stuff that we've talked about for recruiting on this show so far is the same stuff that we do trying to sell the sheds online for the guys. So it's great stuff. It's like, to me, it's just like paradigm shift of why more people don't think of it the same way like you do. But one of the things you talked about is the follow-up and the time kills deals. So let's talk about the pre-qualification process. So when somebody comes in and they respond to one of these ads or somehow they get inside this, and I hate to use the word funnel, but for lack of a better term, let's use the word funnel. What are the best ways to move somebody along during that process and get them pre-qualified or get them self-disqualified?
Right. Well, no one is ready to take the next step instantly. Just be prepared for that and it's okay. And about half the people that fill out a form on Facebook will never take the next step. But knowing that, you want to have your automation so that you're messaging them, sending them an email, sending them a text message every day with a call to action to go fill out the application. Once they fill out the application, you're putting them into a sequence to go do the video interview every day for about 7 days. And then even whenever that if they don't respond, you don't give up on them. You take them and you put them into, and you know this term, Jim, put them into a long-term nurture sequence. Mm-hmm. About once a week, you're sending them a message. And then one of the things that we have found is it was after about the 60-day mark with most of our clients, we'll go back through and get all the leads that never said anything. And we'll say, hey, we've had a couple of new openings come up. If you're still interested in a position, just respond interested. And you'll get about 10% of those people that never said a word saying interested, right? So you're reactivating them. So from that standpoint, but it's continuing to feel, I don't want to be a nuisance. I don't want to be a bother. Hey, they're going to text stop if they don't want to get any more information. Yeah, like I said, we text them until they apply or until they die. or until they say stop. But that's the thing. Don't be shy about continuing to contact them, because like I said, we've had them that right now we have apprentices in class at one of our clients that the first time they reached out on an ad was November of last year. And now we are in August, and now they're in training to be an apprentice.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, wow. That sounds a lot like sometimes our sales cycle. We actually had just picked up a client earlier this week at Shed Marketer that we first met last September at the same show we're about to be at, the Shed Builder Expo. That we're about to be at in another month. That was a 10 month decision making process. Again, of course, the way we're positioned, I mean, that's not to be not expected, but that makes a lot of sense.
So you're wearing a watch, right?
Yes, sir.
Right. So what time is it on your watch?
10:44.
Right. So on my watch, it's 10:12. Our watches have different times, right? Your watch is digital, right?
Yes,
my watch is analog. So the thing is that it's not always the right time on your prospect's watch. So you have to continue to communicate with them until the point that it is the right time on their watch to respond. And that's the easiest way I can explain that, is because everyone's watch is set to a little bit of a different time. Now, granted, if we look at a phone, I guarantee our phones all say 10:11, right?
Yeah, I think that comes from a satellite somewhere.
Right, because everybody, they're all linked together. But the thing is it's like, right, it may be that right now the time on their watch is I'm just looking, and 2 months from now the time on their watch is I'm ready to make a move. And that's why you continue to communicate with them and don't shy away from, oh, I don't want to bother people. It says right on there, if you no longer want to receive these messages, just reply stop, right?
Very good, yeah. Very good. All right. So let's talk about some mistakes that people, I'd say the top five mistakes that you see most people make when they're trying to do recruiting on their own.
So they put an application on their website. They ask for their first name, their last name, their email, their phone number, and upload your resume. That's number one. Because like I said, most people don't have a resume ready to upload. And that's like meeting somebody and going, hey, nice to meet you. And taking it like on a date, you meet a young lady and go, nice to meet you. Do you want to go back to my place? That's too fast, right? That doesn't work anywhere, right? So it's the same thing there. You're going from 0 to 100 too fast. You got to indoctrinate them, right? So don't just ask for a resume right off the bat. Get their information and then start a conversation with them. much like a lead magnet. You're doing the same thing. Now, the other part of it is expecting them to jump through too many hoops in order to qualify for the position. We've had customers say, well, I want to put in there that they need to use the word banana in their resume or I'm not going to look at it. Okay. That's kind of like, really? That's it's like you're down six technicians, but you want to put these conditions that don't have anything to do with the job. How about we ask for their, if it's an HVAC technician, how about we ask for their EPA number rather than have them type the word banana on the job application? I mean, let's, you know, it's just looking at some of those kind of things.
Okay.
Yeah. Then the other one is not paying enough. Again, everybody's like, I can only pay so much money. Well, then you need to charge more. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. If you don't have the ability to pay them the money they need to make to not leave you and go work for your competitor or work at McDonald's, then you should never have to make excuses to your customers about what you charge, because you're charging what you do, one, for the value, and two, the fact that you take care of your employees. And whenever you take care of your employees, then you have people that not only want to come to work for you, but stay working for you. Whenever I get on a call with a client and with a prospect and they're like, yeah, we just can't seem to keep our people. They keep going to the competition. It's like, why? And then think about this. This is for anybody in any position, any business owner out there. The A players that you want are already working for someone else. What is it about the positioning of your company that's going to cause them to want to leave where they are and come work for you? Most people put no thought into that. They just like, I'm going to put it out there and I'm going to get what I can. That's like having, you're fishing around people that have brand new bait, you know, live, like you're fishing for bass out in the lake there, right around where you're at, Jim, and you're out there mm-hmm. fishing with shiners and the other guy's fishing with a plastic worm on a crankbait. Who's going to catch the fish? The guy with the live shiner. It's what you're using to attract the candidate is the biggest thing.
I've got it. So the same process that you're using for, let's just say we're talking about technicians and tradespeople and things like that, do you also recruit sales and salespeople the same way?
Yep, same thing. With that, we hire salespeople because in home services, like for instance, an HVAC, it's not a salesperson, it's a comfort advisor, right? They're going out, but a lot of times the technicians are also salespeople, because they have to not only be able to diagnose and repair, but also sell the customer on the right thing. So it's a combination. But then we do have companies that do remodeling, right? Like bath remodeling, kitchen remodeling. Mm-hmm. And we hire salespeople. That's all they're doing is going out, even roofing companies that are going out there. All they're doing is that they're going out, they're looking at the job, they're making an estimate, and they're selling it. The same thing like with Reborn, they are a cabinet manufacturer, but they also have storefronts. You know, they not only make the cabinets, but they have installers that go install the cabinets, do the bathroom retrofits, and they have showrooms, and we hire salespeople for those showrooms.
Gotcha. So it's the exact same process, no real difference, no matter what position you're hiring for.
The only thing that I will say that we do not do a good job at is C-level. Now, if you need a CEO or a CFO or a chief operating officer for your company, you're not going to find them on Facebook. You might find them on LinkedIn, but you're not going to find them on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
You might. Now, we've hired managers, HR managers, and marketing directors, but when you get to the C-level, that's a different animal.
That's a whole different ball game. Yeah. All right. Well, cool. Like, I'd like some, you know, the listeners of the podcast to have the opportunity to learn more, you know, about, we haven't really mentioned a lot, Rapid Hire Pro, your company name. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about Rapid Hire and your recruiting process and maybe even let them know how to get in touch with you if they want to connect with you directly and learn more.
Yeah, sure. So it's just the easiest thing is rapidhirepro.com. There on the top of the page, there's a big yellow button that says schedule. And when you schedule a call, it's a 30-minute call that you schedule with me. I'm the CEO of the company, but I'm still also I also do all the strategy sessions. And I call it a recommendations call, because I'll ask you some questions about your company and then make recommendations on what you should do. And it's not always work with us. A lot of times it's, you know, showing you things that you can do yourself, showing you examples of what we do so that you can implement it, or use someone like Jim here. If you're already using Shed Marketer, there's some things that he can even implement, because what we do isn't magic, but what we do is so much different and streamlined than what everyone else does. It seems like magic, but I pull back the curtains and show you everything. If you're only looking to hire one or two people, I can already tell you we're not the best fit, but I will still do the call with you and show you what you should do. We typically, like I said, work with companies that are needing to hire 3-4 plus type people. But I like I said, I do the call. If you sign up for a call, I show up, and I show up and I bring you value, because I want you to leave that call gaining value, whether we're the right fit for you or not.
Sounds a lot like us. Okay. So that's it. Rapid Hire Pro. Jody, anything else you'd like to say to these guys before we sign off on this episode?
No, just don't get discouraged. Hiring is a challenge for just about everything out there. It doesn't matter if it's home services, healthcare, you name it. I have people coming to me all the time for different things. We just happen to focus strictly on home services. Mostly, you know, people, when they get in a truck and come to your house to repair something, we do the recruiting for that. But don't get discouraged. There are A players out there. Change your messaging a little bit and you'd be surprised what you start to attract.
All right. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Success in Sheds podcast with Jim Mosier. Please, please, please download and tell your friends about the podcast and hit that subscribe button if you're on YouTube. And until next time, we will see you later.
See ya.
Like and subscribe to our channel and hit that bell if you want to be notified for any new videos that come out. And listen, until next time, have a great day.